Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block with Jennifer DeVoe, only on LA Talk Radio.
What up, all my party peeps out in LA land? It is I, Jennifer DeVoe, and the other Dave Navarro.
That's right.
For Jenny's right, Real Talk.
Right. Oh, yeah.
On the Block.
Oh, yeah.
On LA Talk Radio Channel
1. Oh, yeah.
God, you sound like the fucking Kool-Aid man. Anyway.
I thought it sounded more like the Duff guy.
Really? I thought.
Oh yeah.
No,
oh yeah, that sounds like
that's
the Kool-Aid man.
Sorry.
I'm about as fat as him right now too, so it's not a big deal.
Remember, Family Guy and Robot Chicken.
Oh God, yeah.
Anyway,
I remember that. Right?
And you're listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1, where we have all kinds of fun and mischief and mayhem. But here is the news from the other Dave Navarro.
It's April 19, 2016 at the top of the hour, and these are some headlines in case you haven't seen them. In local news brought to you by ABC7News.com, car crashes after gunman fatally shoots one of three occupants in Hacienda Heights. A car crashed after one of its three occupants was fatally shot Tuesday evening in Hacienda Heights, authorities said. A gunman fired several rounds into the car about 9:23 p.m. in the 800 block of Jarrow Avenue, said Deputy Kelvin Moody of the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. A man sitting inside the vehicle suffered a gunshot wound to the upper body, Moody said. The other two occupants were not struck by gunfire. The trio fled the location in the car, which then crashed in the 14,900 block of Gale Avenue, according to investigators. The shooting victim was subsequently pronounced dead at the scene. A description of the gunman was not immediately available. In U.S. news, brought to you by Associated Press correspondent Jimmy Golan, ex-NFL star Aaron Hernandez hangs himself in his prison cell. Former NFL star Aaron Hernandez hanged himself in the prison cell where he was serving a life sentence for murder, officials said Wednesday, the same day his ex-teammates on the New England Patriots were set to visit the White House to mark their Super Bowl victory. His death came just days after the 27-year-old athlete was acquitted in a second murder case. Guards found Hernandez just after 3 a.m., Correction Department spokesman Christopher Fallon said. The one-time tight end was taken to a hospital and pronounced dead about an hour later. In world news, brought to you by Associated Press correspondent Ken Thomas and Robert Burns, U.S. VP Pence warns North Korea the sword stands ready. From the windswept deck of a massive aircraft carrier, Vice President Mike Pence on Wednesday warned North Korean not to test the resolve of the U.S. military, promising it would make an overwhelming and effective response to any use of conventional or nuclear weapons. Pence, dressed in a green military jacket, said aboard the hulking USS Ronald Reagan that President Donald Trump's administration would continue to work diligently with allies like Japan, China, and other global powers to apply economic and diplomatic pressure on Pyongyang, but he told the sailors, as all of you know, readiness is the key. The United States of America will always seek peace, but under President Trump, the shield stands guard and the sword stands ready, Pence told 2,500 sailors wearing blue fatigues and naval baseball caps on a sunny, windy morning aboard the carrier at the U.S. Yokosuka Naval Base in Tokyo Bay. In entertainment news, O'Reilly bosses not commenting on reports that he's out. Brought to you by Associated Press correspondent David Bowder. There was no immediate response from Bill O'Reilly's bosses Wednesday to escalating reports that the Fox News Channel personality will lose his job following accusations he had harassed women. New York Magazine reported Wednesday, based on unnamed sources, that Rupert Murdoch and sons James and Lachlan, who run Fox, parent 21st Century Fox, had decided that O'Reilly was out and executives were planning to exit. On Tuesday, the Wall Street Journal, a newspaper owned by the Murdochs, wrote that the company was preparing to cut ties with O'Reilly. The New York Times reported April 2nd that five women had been paid a total of $13 million to keep quiet about unpleasant encounters with O'Reilly, who has denied any wrongdoing. Dozens of his show's advertisers fled following the report though O'Reilly's viewership, increased. O'Reilly has denied wrongdoing. In sports, in basketball, the NBA playoffs continue as the Atlanta Hawks take on the Washington Wizards. The Wizards lead 1-0. Oklahoma City Thunder take on the Houston Rockets. The Rockets lead 1-0, and the Portland Trail Blazers take on the Golden State Warriors as the Warriors lead 1-0. In hockey, the playoffs are looking pretty good for the Anaheim Ducks as they look to sweep the Calgary Flames and take home the W in Game 4 of this best-of-seven series. The weather, it's mostly sunny today with a high of 75 degrees and the temperatures dropping later this evening to 56. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with a high of 80 degrees and a low of 59. These are the headlines in case you haven't heard them.
Well, that was quite lovely,
wasn't it? Though,
thank you, the other Dave Navarro.
I do the best I can. I can't rock out, but I could news out. You know what I mean?
Hey,
is that even a word?
You always.
Did I just say news out?
Hey, hey, you rock out to me, Dave.
Totes.
You know what I'm saying?
Totes.
So I don't care.
Other word, totes.
So it's totes. Dave Navarro's birthday.
Oh.
This Dave Navarro, the other Dave Navarro, the only Dave Navarro that counts in my world.
Back is going out on
the
soul right now.
No offense to the, you know, guitarist dude, but this is the only Dave Navarro that matters in my world.
I do the best I can. What can I say?
You know what I'm saying? So happy birthday to this Dave Navarro.
Thank you very much, Jenny. I appreciate the birthday wishes.
Thank you very much. Yeah. So we just wanted to let everybody know.
So for my birthday, we have awesome guests.
Yes, we do. We have the wonderful Jeremy Miller. A.K.A. ex-actor. He's an actor now, but he's...
Ex-actor?
Something I don't know.
You're busting a James Vanderbeek right now, okay?
How do I say it? He used to be Ben Seaver on that awesome show.
And he was the voice of Linus on The Peanuts Gang.
Yes, he was. Great, great memories from when I was younger. I absolutely love
You can
that
actually
team.
Remember?
Yes. I love Growing Pains.
Awesome.
That was one of my favorite shows growing up, like, by far. I always thought that was literally, I watched that like countless times. And I, of course, who doesn't like the Peanuts Gang? Who doesn't like Snoopy and Linus and
that
Charlie Brown?
That was incredible to be a part of. I mean, being a kid and getting to be a part of that, man.
Yeah, dude.
Dream come true.
Well, it's a dream come true to have you here.
Yes.
Finally.
You liar.
Finally. What? God, what are you talking about? Okay. Okay. So for all of you that may not know, Jeremy is the deuce to my bag. Okay.
No,
you're the back.
Your asshole.
That's true. Exactly what he just said. We're actually really good friends, and I can't stand the guy.
Great thing is, I see Joni over here, Jeremy's significant other.
She's next to Silent Giggles.
She's over here looking all like, she's like embarrassed that we just said douchebag on the air. It's okay, we can swear at this radio station.
Yeah, that's the cool part. We can actually say whatever the hell we want. I try not to swear, though. I try to be the good guy in this whole
thing. Dude, I spent
thing.
5 years on the air at another radio station where I couldn't swear, couldn't play music with swears.
Well,
I can swear like I want. I'm going to take that advantage, and I pay for it every week. So I'm going to swear all I want. I've just come down to that factor.
So, okay.
We also have another really great guest in the studio with us today, and that would be William Constantine.
Love his last name.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Great TV show, great movie, and you should play on that, hashtag Constantine. You know, just to be funny.
Yeah.
But William Constantine. And then, but yes, famous psychic medium.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
And I've seen you. I've seen some of your stuff on Facebook, and you know, you were on what was it, Fox or CNN? You were
all of them
featured. Yeah,
you've been on everything.
Yeah. You are on everything.
So tell us a little bit more about you and what you do, so we can then talk about the show afterwards. But talk about you more.
Well, I mean, I'm a psychic medium, which basically means I'm a conduit from this world and other dimensions. So whether that's the angelic realms or spirit or fairies or that type of thing, I mean, I talk to all sorts of things, including animals.
That's freaking awesome.
Wow.
Dave, you're familiar with
dude,
fairies.
That's bitchin'.
I knew you were going to go there.
Dude, that's bitchin'. I totally believe that because what? I have a lot of the same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
My whole life, ever since I was little. So weird.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. But I love what you do. Well, keep talking about that. That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, so I mean that's about that, and you have experience with fairies, he says. So
yeah, they
we've seen some weird stuff, haven't we, Dave?
Well, no, it's not that. It's just that Jeremy's family have given me a nickname that I'm not going to repeat right now, and I'm going to keep it that way.
Is it the fairy? I'm just kidding.
No. It's something. it's something about princess, and I'm not going to go ahead and repeat the nickname. But if you do want to know what the nickname is, you could always call us.
Yes, call us at 323-203-0815, because you know you want to ask questions to William Constantine, the wonderful psychic medium, and also Jeremy Miller, the awesome actor. So both of you guys,
like you're working on an awesome project called Third Eye, and that's a new series that's coming out, correct?
Yes, we are. We actually just finished up a 30-second teaser piece to go at the beginning of our pitch package, and should begin pitching it to the networks and the streaming platforms in the next week to 2 weeks, and letting them fight over who gets to pick up this really awesome TV show.
Nice. And you play William Kane, which is based off of William Constantine, correct?
Correct.
Nice. So what's your character like exactly?
My character is a fallen from grace psychic medium who is a very tortured soul. His wife was murdered, and she happens to be the one person he cannot make a psychic and spiritual connection to. So he cannot reach her, he cannot reach out to her, and he cannot figure out what happened to her and how she was killed, how she disappeared, and all that. So it's actually a very very dark and tortured character, which is going to be for me a lot of fun because it's extremely different than what people are used to seeing me play.
And it's going to make me watch it because that sounds freaking awesome.
That's kind of the point.
Weirdos like me are gonna watch that show.
Absolutely,
that's gonna be a huge like hit. I can see that right now, like actually hitting on several different market fronts.
Yeah, we think so. But we're really excited.
That's gonna be big. Yeah, I can see this actually doing something.
So William, is this loosely based on your actual life, or is this kind of, you know, for the purposes of entertainment? It's been a little bit stretched a little.
Well, of course there's been some stretching, but it is based on my life. Like, I have worked with organized crime, and I have worked with police and government authorities, and I didn't have a wife that was murdered, you know, but there was, I have, when we were coming up with that concept, I said, what was the one thing that could really piss me off as a medium? And because I can't see people that I've that I was close to that have departed, you know, I thought that, hey, if I was in a situation whereby I was married and in love and she was brutally taken from me and I couldn't make a connection or solve her case, yet I can help everybody else make all these other connections, that would be something that would weigh on me, and it would be the one thing that would torture. You know, because when you watch things like Ghost Whisperer and Medium and things like that, they don't really put the medium in tough situations, you know, like they put them in cases or weird paranormal experiences. And we'll do that in this show, but in a much more realistic style, because I'm consulting on the show. So I'm going to tell people what the Akashic records look like, what the astral plane looks like, and all that other stuff. So when Jeremy's character is actually traveling through dimensions and things like that, you're going to see how I experience things.
Nice.
Through projection.
I like that.
So do I. That's pretty cool, actually. So, Jeremy, have you found it difficult to channel William's character? Or, I mean, has there been, like, any difficult parts of it that you, like, I wish I could, you know, be more like this or anything like that?
Well, we haven't begun shooting the rest of, you know, the series. We haven't actually shot a full episode yet, so I've just been kind of picking William's brain. He's been generous enough to, you know, open up about how he experiences things to me. We've gotten to, go out different places and, you know, just get to ask him questions. We went to a coffee shop. First thing that came to mind was, so how crowded is it in here? He looked at me and said, yeah, it's actually right in front of you. But
we have five people and a fairy standing in the corner over there.
Leave that one alone.
But William has been a great resource, and having someone like him who is so open about what he experiences and how he experiences the world and the other planes, other dimensions, other beings is invaluable to an actor.
That's really awesome.
So I gotta ask, William, do you like concentrate on channeling these beings, or are they just always there?
No, they're there. You know, but I grew up with them, right? So like angels and ascended masters and things like that are really my family, and I'm connected more to the other side than I am the living. Right, so like when I go someplace, if I'm in public, say every living person has at least one or two spirits with them. So if I'm in a room of 50 people, there's actually 100 people there, right? So it's a massive change. And if I'm doing a gallery event, it's just insanity. You know, like if I have 500 people in a room, I'm going bonkers. But
I bet.
Too many people. It's like it's too crowded in here.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I really want to be able to kind of show with my character is that overload, you know. And I mean, something William and I have talked about is that it's one of the reasons why he may tend to avoid crowded places and things like that, because the overload of constant information and is. You know, difficult.
So then I gotta ask, how many do we have in here right now?
just me right now. How many do I have with me? I'm just asking. No, because I always feel there's spirits close to me. I feel certain.
You gotta stop smoking that stuff. People. That's what usually, you know. I'm just kidding.
Hey, this happened to me.
Hey, don't give me that look.
This stuff started happening to me after I died when I was 11. I died and drowned, and when I came back, and plus I'm bipolar, so my mind is more opened up to perception and things around me anyway, and I have a very open mind. So ever since I was 11, I started having visions, dreams. And now it's during the waking hours too. Plus, I've talked to my mother. I talked to my son's father. I can always sense things, and I have like weird feelings when something's about to happen.
Yeah,
and then it happens.
Yeah.
I have a lot of premonition stuff. So I've always just taking that as just that was part of me, and I, you know, and some people don't know how to understand it, and they thought I was a freak, so I got called names growing up, but I didn't really care because I knew that was me, and why should I listen to other people?
Which actually does bring up another question, like when you were growing up, when did you start having these?
Yeah,
you know, when did you start? Yeah,
for lack of
a better word, you know.
No, I mean, I've always had them. I mean, when I was younger, I was in foster care, and when I was even before that, I was being molested and things like that, and so the angels would come. And one of the things that Archangel Michael would say is, let's travel. So he taught me how to astral project. So he would sort of draw me out of my body initially, and then we would just travel. And then so my whole life has been that sort of that way and that connection. So when the living has screwed me over every chance they could get, you know, and I've had friendships and they're like, hey, you know, like we're friends. And then they're like, well, tell me about my relationship, or tell me about this, or tell me about that. And then all of a sudden I started realizing that people just wanted the medium rather than, you know, an actual friend or a connection. So as I grew up, I probably realized at the age of 7 that, you know, that I was actually communicating with the other side, and that not everybody perceived. Yeah, you're going to experience technical difficulties, you know.
Wow, folks, you guys, this is kind of freaking me out a little bit, because there's like some technical difficulties going on over here.
No, seriously, I'm really freaked out right now.
Yeah, like our
we've
earpieces.
Never had this
yeah, we never yeah, have.
Never
all
had
of our earpieces
whoa,
at once.
Whoa, the earpieces are going nuts right now. William, I'm glad that you're enjoying this right now.
This is like really kind of freaky.
Jenny right now is like checking the connections to the earpieces, but I doubt that that's the issue going on right now, Jenny.
I already know it's not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not stupid.
Oh, there we go. They're playing with us right now, aren't they?
Yeah. So, but anyway, around the age of 7, that's when I found out.
I like how when I asked him if they're playing with us, he's like, yeah, sure. That's what it is. They're playing with us. Wow. So did you get like ridiculed a lot?
Yeah, I mean, my whole life I've been ridiculed. I'm still ridiculed now, you know. Like, actors have critics and, you know, mediums and stuff like that have skeptics. And they just, there's people that are skeptic and they want to believe. So they're, I call them healthy skeptics. And then you have people that are just assholes and don't want to believe. And they're just, you know, there to, like James Randi, for example, is a guy that just wants to prove that, that we're fakes and phonies and that everything that we do is based on hot and cold readings and reading your body language and stuff like that. But right. I've done readings where I'm just chatting with somebody either via text or and I can't see their face. And, you know, and I'm doing a reading. Or when I started on AOL Instant Messenger in a program called ICQ, which was a long
time. God, that was a long time.
Oh, my God. It's a very long time. Oh, my God. You're dating yourself. Holy crap.
You know, so, and I would just do messages that way and do readings, and I wouldn't be able to see the person. So, because at the time, John Edward was going through things where he was being accused of having, you know, mics in the green room and different things like that and, right. you know, and selecting certain audience members and or even saying that they were staged and that it was a hot and cold thing. So I said, well, I'm going to eliminate that by not having my client in front of me. And so then I started doing it from all over the world. I was talking to people and delivering messages. And because my connection is to spirit, not to you, the person.
Not to the corporeal world.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's nice. and the thing is, I look at it this way. If there's so many people that are trying to prove you wrong, why would the government want to hire you? Wouldn't that mean that the government doesn't know what they're doing or they're crazy themselves? Or, I mean, you know, that's just the way I look at it.
You just answered your own questions. No,
well, you know, well yeah, I guess. I suppose you could go that hour, but, you know.
Not in this instance, but in everything else. Not with this, but everything else, yes.
Well, so how did you guys link up together anyway? How'd this happen here? How did you
Facebook Joni?
Through Joni.
There's always Joni. A secret. There's every time behind every man there's always a woman rolling her eyes. So
yeah, pretty much.
Does that very well.
Thank you very much, Joni. I know I'm number one. She's giving me an obscene finger gestures right
number
now.
Number one, I like it.
You know, so Joni linked you guys together, and how did this all happen?
Someone had made a comment. The show was, you know, kind of being brought about, and someone had made a comment to William that him and I bared a, you know, kind of similar features, a resemblance, and
See, because I mean, I saw a picture of Jeremy on because I had been connected to Joni for a while, and I didn't know like who the hell she was, right? Like, I just knew that hey, yeah, I'm connected to her, whatever, and. And then all of a sudden I saw a picture, and I think it was like a picture with Jeremy, like nowadays with the Growing Pains cast. And so I look at it and I said, wow, like we, you know, I made a comment to my then manager, you know, that we resembled each other. And he's like, well, I thought that too. And then when Third Eye started to develop, I was like, well, there's only one person we can go to for this role, you know, that would honestly, you know, fit. And, and then he's like, yeah, Jeremy. And so that's what we did. We went with him.
Wow. And here you are now.
Quite an honor.
So during the time that you guys were shooting this little short that you guys were just done, like, we just witnessed some weird stuff that just happened right now. Was there any, like, strange things going on during the shoot?
Nothing I was able to perceive. You'd have to ask William.
Have to ask him, right? Yeah.
On the technical level, no.
Ask William.
No, like I think we were fine with the technical stuff. But, you know,
it does happen from time to time that they do, you know, tend to get a little. Are they like just upset or something? Or
no, I just playful.
Just play. So okay. So and do not talk shit right now. What I'm about to ask. Speaking of fairies.
Seems to be your favorite subject.
See, Jeremy already laughing about it. What do you mean by that exactly? I mean, I didn't even know they actually existed. Shut up, Jeremy.
You're looking at Jeremy.
Because he keeps...
You're not looking at me to make a comment.
Because I know...
I'm also the asshole that might say something.
Yeah, well, you know. So, I mean, but seriously, speaking about fairies, I mean, dude, like, I didn't even know that they actually existed.
I mean, I've written a whole article about, like, the fae world and, you know, but I think the thing with people is they don't realize that fairy tales stem from some paranormal occurrence, right? And when you have things that actually span continents, like everybody, all continents have some type of an image of a dragon or something of that nature, right? So logically, you could think that dragons at one point existed to some degree, just how they, you know, people didn't necessarily understand. But fairies are part of the interdimensional world, right? So they float. Because I'm able to perceive other dimensions, I can actually see these different things. And then you can actually go to the fairy kingdom.
If you really want to. That's interesting. But actually,
no, they brought this up on True Blood. It was part of the last two seasons.
Interesting.
Well, the whole show was about one of the characters was a fae.
Well, it's,
and they talk about she was her parents was one was a fae and one was a human.
Well, like William just mentioned, you know, some of these, you know, fairy tales, they stem from something else in El Salvador. Actually, there's a lot of talk about fairies, and there's like there's actually a legend about a specific fairy that lives that tends to romance young girls in little towns and leaves them like flowers and stuff like that. But the problem is that this particular fairy doesn't allow, like, he gets jealous. So any suitor that comes towards the girl, he immediately kind of like does something to ruin the relationship.
Wow.
So it's an interesting urban legend that's from El Salvador, but I don't know.
There's fairy culture in many different, you know, parts of the world.
Well, it's why people hang, you know, it's why people hang the horseshoes above their doors.
You know, right.
Because, I do.
Yeah,
I mean, I do in my place.
Yeah.
Because fairies are tricksters. I mean, they're pranksters. And if you promise something, which is where the movie Leprechaun went, you know, where like when you would make your wish, you had to, you know, be very specific on what you wanted, because otherwise, they would give you exactly what you wanted, but not in the way you asked for.
It's the same thing with the djinn.
Yeah.
Same thing with genies and djinn. They're tricksters also, and they also do the same thing where they make a wish. But if you say it, you have to word it a specific way, or because they'll give you I wish for $1 million, and then your father dies that night in a plane crash, and you inherit $1 million. So you have to be very damn specific about how you get that $1 million.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? It's like that kind of crap. They'll be specific with their wish. It's like the monkey's paw and any of that.
I can't. Then leave me out of it. I can't wish for anything, so except for my birthday.
No, that's why it doesn't pay. But yeah, I've always believed in stuff like that, fairies and...
Well, and iron's poisonous to them. That's why and then if you go to the fairy kingdom... How did we get into fairies?
I was curious because you mentioned I was curious about that.
Well, no, but if you go to the fairy kingdom and you're offered food... You know, 9 times out of 10, deny it, you know, unless you really know who, because you can only go by invite only, right? So it's a long story, but.
Well, we do have half an hour.
It was the same way. It was the same way in True Blood. It had to be invited.
So they probably got that from, a lot of their stuff got from
the urban.
And,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, okay. So Jeremy, so you're on this project right now. What else do you got going on?
Just finished a horror movie called Marijuana.
Really?
That sounds awesome.
It is.
Is it an iguana that smokes marijuana?
No, the marijuana is a kind of a interdimensional being, a spirit, a demon, whatever you want to call it. I play a almost shaman-like character who has the marijuana-like herb that you smoke to get in touch with this thing, and it shows
that's
you
freaking
your
awesome
your spirit guide and all this, but it
makes
has
me
to
want
be
to smoke in the parking lot right now.
And it's very very interesting. It's going to be very gory, very zany, and we've already got a lot of people looking at it.
Is it already out right now, or is
no? We just finished filming. They're editing it right now, but even though it has not been finished editing, there's, from what I understand, been 2 or 3 offers from production and distribution companies.
I have a question. Did you really get to smoke marijuana? I'm just kidding.
I didn't. I cannot exactly speak for everybody on the set. I did not.
So you had to pretend as if you were smoking marijuana.
My character actually does not.
Oh, the shaman, your character
you
just
I am the provider.
Oh, you're the provider.
Kind of is the guide for these people.
You're the dealer.
Basically, I'm the spiritual dealer. Yes.
No, but that Inception, that part where the dude has to put them under like that, and then it was the same kind of thing.
It's a similar concept.
He provided the stuff that for these people so they could go into their dream worlds and stuff.
Correct.
So like I like that concept.
And of course, things don't exactly go as planned. Or it wouldn't be a horror film.
No, it never does. It never does in a horror movie.
Because if everything went as planned, then, you know, that would be the end of it. That would be like the first 5 minutes. Everybody get high.
Can you tell me this? Was there a lot of, like, awesome, brutal slaughter in it?
Oh, it is very, very brutal.
Very brutal?
It's very gory.
On a scale of 1 to 10 brutal-wise, what would you rate it?
I'd have to go with an 11. I mean,
wow.
Fuck yeah.
The love of my life here, Joni, was actually in it as well. And
fuck yeah.
She,
that's awesome.
She got to kill somebody rather brutally.
That's awesome.
Yes.
She got to let a lot of rage out, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Did you use any kind of like cool weaponry?
Just me.
It was just you?
Yes.
Brutal? Just you? Just hands? Like you just ripped the person apart? Like ripped their throat out? What'd you do? Okay, you can't say that part, but you killed them with your bare hands. No weaponry was you don't have to say how you killed them with your bare hands. Just say yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's freaking
awesome.
There
you
go. No, I'm not going to do that.
So is there an estimated date when this is going to be released?
It'll all depend on who picks it up for distribution. But right now it looks very good that it will be picked up. You know, this type of horror film, especially on the international stage, is very, very lucrative and
so,
you know, popular right now.
So you don't. So you don't think like it would be picked up maybe like by a Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime.
I'm not involved on the production side the distribution side.
I'm actually
a producer on it as well.
Oh, nice.
But I have not been in on the negotiations and that kind of stuff. So I don't know who's
looking
at it right
now. That'd be interesting though to for somebody big like that, like somebody big to put it out.
I mean, it very well might be. I mean, with this kind of thing, you just never know. I mean, it was. You can do this type of thing, especially if you have a good crew, on a relatively low budget.
Okay.
You know, I mean, if you look at Sinister. They did Sinister,
right.
Ethan Hawke, $10 million.
Yeah.
Worldwide, 200-and-something million.
Yep. That's freaking awesome.
You know, it's a brilliant
right now, horror movies is what's in right now, too.
Oh,
so even if you make, like, the worst horror movie in the world, you're still going to make, like, a lot of money back right now.
So if I came up with a budget and I wanted to do a horror movie, would you be in it? Mr. Jeremy,
pay him enough, he will.
What is your going rate? I will pay
art.
You.
True, that's true.
I will
then
pay
we'll
you to be in one of my. I'm not joking. I'm going to be making movies soon in the next
few
years.
Honestly, for me, it's more about the script. It's more about the story.
Okay.
So if it's something that I like, something I believe in, something I think that's going to give me a chance to stretch as an actor and do something fun, I would absolutely consider it.
Would you be willing to do like co-writing, like help
yes.
develop something?
I do know a little bit about
for
that.
For consulting fees and whatnot.
Yes. Well,
like,
the thing is, well,
I mean,
Jen,
I'm never going to like make you do something.
Well, Jen, actually, Jeremy.
You're freaking Jeremy Miller.
Well, Jeremy's actually helped me out with a couple of my scripts. Like, he's consulted on a couple of my projects as well. He's actually been in a clip that unfortunately I can't show right now. Not anything.
No, I know.
Bad or anything like that.
Come
but
on,
it was it was a clip of my horror movie that I wrote, and he was in it. He did an amazing job on it. Unfortunately, like I said, it probably will never see the light of day. But
hey,
it was really cool.
No.
Can I help make it
see the light of day?
No. It's for other reasons. The reason for other reasons. But
for what we talked about before. I know it's what we talked about.
Yeah,
we're not going to go
so,
into it. Yeah,
so, the bottom line is, he's actually really good at consulting. He's really good at writing. He's really good at giving great ideas. You know, and I'm very like happy, dude. I got to say one thing, Jeremy, that you've gone through so much shit in your life. You know, it's beyond me. Okay, like you've gone through. I mean, it's public knowledge. You've gone through alcoholism. You know, you like especially the alcoholism part.
I'm going through alcohol classes right now.
That was a very difficult. You know, I mean, for your life, that was very difficult. You know, I mean,
very much so.
And how are you doing with all that? I know that you've been sober for you know a while now. I mean, how long has it been now?
Doing great. I had a small relapse a while back, but it's been over a couple of years now and doing wonderful. Have no interest in it whatsoever. I've actually reached that wonderful point for an alcoholic where it actually turns my stomach thinking about it.
Me too.
You know,
me too. I'm the same. Going through the same thing because I've had alcohol problems throughout my life, but I've overcome, and I know what you're saying, and I know how hard it is to go through all that shit.
Oh, yeah. Joni and I were in a store the other day, and, you know, wall full of alcohol and beer and stuff that would have had me drooling before.
And now it's like,
now
who gives
I'm getting
a crap?
Nauseous. Not well, only do you give a crap, it's like, actually it's like, turns I don't my give
a
stomach. Crap.
Well, you also had a procedure awesome. Done, too, right?
Years ago.
Does that have anything to do with also the reason why?
No. The procedure that I had done was a, you know, implant that lasted about 4 to 5 months.
Really?
It was just a medicine that helps to block the cravings.
Oh, okay.
So it's a, now they've actually developed a longer lasting one that lasts up to a year.
Wow.
But it's really just a start to help you get past that initial 6 months to a year where those cravings and that obsession of the mind is still so powerful. Well, but after that, it's all you, and it's all basic recovery.
Well, good
Which
for
I
you,
still
though.
Stay very involved with. So,
good
so
for you.
And you've been focusing, you know, you've been focusing on that. Awesome. And Jen, I don't know if you knew this either, but he's also an awesome, awesome chef.
Really?
This guy can cook like you have no idea. He's cooked for me twice. And every time it's, you know, like, I'm like, dude, I need seconds. I need thirds because it's like
stop.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, don't you have like a catering company or something?
I have a catering company. Okay. Got it going and actually started to pick up a little of momentum right before the economy crash. And then that pretty much tanked everything. But I freelanced for a couple different catering companies in the LA area as a head chef. So
I'm going to be needing to hire, I do event planning and stuff like that, too. So I'm going to be needing to hire a caterer soon, so
I can definitely direct you some good people.
We'll talk
about that. What's your specialty exactly?
That's awesome.
Honestly, with how ADD I am, it really depends. I was classically French trained at Cordon Bleu. Studied in China for a little while.
Nice.
Grew up cooking Southern, Cajun, and Creole with my grandmother.
Yes.
Damn.
Have studied Indian. So I'm all over the place, but it really depends on the mood that I'm in. Summer's coming up. I'm going to be busting out the smoker and barbecuing all summer.
I'm on my way. I'll be on my way already to your house. I'm already there right now.
It just depends.
I'm already there right now.
If I had to say signature dish, Cajun rubbed ribeye with a Creole shrimp and cream sauce over asparagus.
And you'll be making that for me very soon.
Lord. Are you going to be using that as a birthday, you know?
Like, oh, my birthday was a week ago.
I know, right? That's exactly. Hey, that's a good idea. Thanks, Jen. I appreciate it.
Jen, don't help me.
What?
I don't need to see this guy any more than I already do.
If you want to call in and ask questions, Jeremy Miller, the wonderful famous actor and the famous psychic medium William Constantine, dial 323-203-0815. You know, it's getting dead in here with the calls, but we're having fun, so that's all I care about.
Hey, that's all it's all about at the
and
end.
And that's
day,
all
that
really matters to me.
So, William, have you tried any of his cooking yet?
No, I'm a chef, too.
Oh, really?
We both went to culinary school.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow, you guys have more in common than anything.
William and I have been wanting to get together in the kitchen and just hang out and collaborate a little bit. So
that rocks. Yeah. More common than you realize. See, he wasn't just... And I was looking at you guys, too, and I was like, the facial structure, the orbital bone, everything, like, it's almost spot on. It's, like, really closely, very good resemblance.
I'm curious, when they went ahead and casted, or when you started talking, did you, like, have, you know, did someone at all consult you and say, this guy's the guy to play you, or was it just instinct, or...
No, I mean, I have common sense. I don't go to everybody on the other side and be like, am I making the right decision? You know, so I think the thing is, you know, Jeremy was known for one particular role. And this was a way to stretch his acting ability, but also put him in something that I think that he could do, something that portrayed me. And, you know, and I think there was a connection there that I believe that he could do it, you know, even though it takes him out of I mean, because this is going to be unlike anything that he's ever done.
Of course.
You know, and because it's like I'm consulting on it, I have to make sure that I'm giving him, the true to life experiences that I have so that he could portray it the best way. Because, I mean, there's so much that I go through that I don't really think about, right? Because it's so normal, like, you know, and people are like, what's it like to see the dead? And I'm like, what's it like to see the living? I mean, you know,
Who's really dead and who's really alive here, you know?
It's a pithy retort.
Yeah, you know.
That's a pithy retort right there.
You know, and I just, because for me, it's very normal. And so I, you know, when I first was talking to Jeremy and, you know, we were trying to come up with how he was going to best portray the character, You know, those were the types of things we were talking about, is like, what's it like when you go to the grocery store? What's it like when you have these, you know, premonitions or when things happen? Like, you know, even for the scene, he asked me, because the character's doing astral projection, and he asked, like, when he comes back into his body, is it more like a jump or, you know, and then spout the phrase, or if it, you know, how it was, or if it was more casual. And I said, in this case, it would be more of a jump. But, you know, once you learn how to astral project, you don't go back into your body so hard like you do in a dream that would cause you to jump out of it.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool, though. But, okay. So, like, from all this, Jeremy, like, you've gotten a lot of support from a lot of people, you know, everything that you're doing. I know that last week you were on Dr. Oz, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. They had Joanna Kearns, who played my mom on the show.
I was about to ask you about the former cast, too.
Yes. Unfortunately, Ashley Johnson, who's now on Blindspot, who played Chrissy, was not involved. Pisses me off. I'm sorry. Let me rant for half a second here.
Go for
they
it.
Never involve her in our reunion stuff. Now, for the reunion movies that we did for Growing Pains, of course, she was a part of it. But whenever we're brought on talk shows, whenever we're brought to discuss the show or do a little reunion thing, they never involve her.
And she was a large part of it, too.
For the last two or three years of the show, she was a big part of it.
Yeah.
And they never, ever involve her. It pisses me off. And for whatever reason, I'm one of the only people who fights for it. I'm always asking the producers, are you guys going to bring Ashley in? They never do.
Well, what about
Kirk? Pisses me off.
Why doesn't Kirk fight
for it? Kirk was actually, Kirk couldn't be at this one. He was in Kentucky or somewhere doing one of his marriage seminars that he normally does. Mm-hmm. But he sent along he recorded a message to be played on the show during our interview and stuff.
But does he fight for Ashley as well to be on the show? Because, I mean, I know that they take his influence, you know, like he's a big influential part of Growing Pains. Mm-hmm. So I know that, you know, if he says something.
Honestly have never talked to him about it. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. Because he is always so busy. He's usually the last one brought into one of these last one to be able to commit his schedule to it. So I don't know if he even thinks about it because he's running from, I mean, the guy has six kids.
Wow.
He's working with
that I didn't know.
Two Christian ministries, runs his own marriage seminars all across the country, and is speaking at a different church practically every week. So I can't even get a hold of the guy right now. That's not 100% true. But, you know, he does get back to me, but it takes him a while. You know, it used to be, give him a call. I'd hear from him within the week because he was so busy. Right now, because he is running so crazy, it takes me a month to be able to actually get a hold of him just to say hi.
Wow. So how is it? So how did the, I mean, I hate to bring this up, but I mean, how did the cast take Alan's passing?
It was pretty brutal. I have dealt with a lot of loss in my life, close family, friends, and things like that. So I think perhaps I have grieved and processed it a little faster than the rest of the cast. Tracy's still struggling pretty hard.
Yeah, because, I mean, Alan Thicke, he was the head. Not only the head of the family on the show, but also the head of the show.
The head of the show. I mean, he was our father. I mean, he was a paternal figure to all of us, except for Joanna, and to, I mean, they were best friends. You know, they were so close in the collaboration of the show, the creative aspects. They both had been recently divorced. They both had kids around the same age. They were a big support for each other early on in the show as well. So it's been a hard loss. You know, for me, it hits me most when something happens, something good, something bad, whatever, and I want to pick up the phone and I want to tell them about it.
Yeah,
and
I know what that's like.
I know you do, brother.
I know. Yeah, so and it's difficult because, you know, losing a loved one is the hardest thing in the world. And, you know, it's never easy. You can't really get over it. There's really no way to get over it. And for you, I know that he was, you know, like you said, he's like your father.
He was my second dad.
And, you know, to think that, you know, one minute they're there, the next minute they're just gone. You know, that's got to be the worst thing in the world. And I know that Leonardo DiCaprio was also, you know, there. And so how was that reunion like with everybody? I mean, he's so big right now.
It was really wonderful to get to see Leo. I haven't seen him in probably about 10 or 12 years. We used to run into each other at Jerry's Deli. well after the show, 2:33 o'clock in the morning, and run into each other and hang out a little bit. But it was wonderful to get to see him. I was very touched. Him and Alan's son, Robin, who everybody knows, Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke.
Robin and him are good friends. And Robin asked him to get up and speak, you know, and say something. And because of, I guess, Leo's stature, everything else, Robin gave him the opportunity to do it alone. Leo was such a class act and such a gentleman. He said, I don't feel comfortable with that. Why don't we get up as a family and do it together?
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
And so, I was very impressed with that. I was very touched, and it was just really good to reconnect.
So he hasn't gotten, like, all Hollywood on anybody or anything like that?
Not as far as I know. I mean, he was as down to earth and just my old friend like he always was.
So let's go into a little bit of a lighthearted subject here. Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, what?
So I don't know if many of you remember, but Jeremy was stuck in a little bit of a love triangle between Candace Cameron Bure and Danica McKellar, which I hate you because they're both freaking smoking hot. You know, I had a crush on both of them when I was a kid. You got to date both of them as a kid.
Okay, let me clarify.
Okay, here we go. Here's the clarification.
Candace and I were babies, okay? This was that we're going together and we never go anywhere type thing, you know? All we did was talk on the phone.
I work with your brother.
And, you know, the only time we ever did anything, you know, even remotely romantic was like at the rap parties. We danced together the whole night or stuff like that. Danica was kind of my first real girlfriend. Her and I actually dated, you know, went on dates, that kind of stuff.
I remember you telling me that she rejected you at first.
Yeah, actually she did. Danica was,
I had to bring that one up right now.
She had standards. Persistence works, baby. No, Danica was 2 years older than me and, you know, didn't really want to give a younger kid the time of day. And, you know, I set my mind to it. And at the time, Batman was coming out, the grand premiere.
The one with Michael Keaton.
Yes, the one with Michael Keaton. Mm-hmm. It was the hottest premiere in Hollywood. They had actually rebuilt half of Westwood around the two theaters it was premiering to look like Gotham.
That's awesome.
And getting tickets was damn near impossible. And I worked for Warner Brothers. So I got some tickets, called Danica, and asked if she wanted to go with me. Rented a limo, got the whole nine yards, and the rest was history.
Nice. So how long did that relationship last?
About 11 months before she broke my heart.
So karma came back to you then?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
So many of you people that watch Dancing with the Stars kind of know, you know, some of the versions of the story. And Jeremy even had the opportunity to apologize to both of them. He, quote, doesn't remember.
That I don't remember. I didn't remember it going down that way. I didn't remember breaking up with Candace to pursue Danica.
Uh-huh.
And I certainly didn't remember doing it essentially through her sister. But that's the story Candace told, and her recollection is probably better than mine. I don't know.
Wow. You're a dog. I'm not even going to talk to you around. You're such a dog. Anyways, well, I mean, that's just, you know, I love hearing the stories. I love hearing both your stories. I love hearing everything that you're doing right now. Both of you guys have an amazing project coming up, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to, like, watching just...
I honestly have not been this excited about a project in a long time. I mean, this is a story that is so deep and so good that even though I'm a part of it, I'm dying to find out what happens next.
Dying being the operative word in this particular case. Well, I mean, you know, like I said, I saw some of the behind the scenes of it. You look great, man.
Thank you, brother.
You look great. And I remember you telling me you're doing the DDP yoga.
I was. I've actually eased off that at the moment because I've dropped 40 pounds and don't want to get any smaller. So now I've moved over to the weights, just trying to get a little more tone, a little more fit that way. But no, the DDP yoga was absolutely amazing. Shout out to DDP. I got to meet him before I bought it. It's an incredible program.
I'm going to make sure I'm going to go ahead and tweet
it. Is this Diamond Dallas Page?
Yeah, Diamond Dallas Page.
Oh, I love Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, I know.
We try to go to a hotel as much as possible so we can watch SmackDown or Raw every Monday night. Anyhow. We've been having a great time here on Jenny's Real Talk.
It goes by so quickly, doesn't it?
It freaking does.
It just like flew.
That's why we need to have longer shows. That's okay. We're working on it. Funding is coming eventually. I'm working on projects. So anyway, you've been listening to Jenny's Real Talk on the Block, LA Talk Radio Channel 1. We've had our really awesome guests, William Constantine's famous psychic medium, as we've been on every channel known to man, talking about projects that he's worked with the government and police and whatnot to help.
And the current project
crimes.
Third Eye as well.
Yes,
starring.
I was getting to that.
Hey, I was.
I'm doing an outro. Shut the hell up.
It's my birthday. I can say what I want. I do what I want.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah.
We've been also with the
Cheesy Poop.
We got less than a minute. Shut the hell up. Jeremy Miller, a famous actor, has been here with us as well today. And we've been talking about Third Eye, the new series that's going to be coming out about a psychic medium and his life.
William Kane.
Yes, William Kane will be the character that Jeremy Miller will be playing. But you've been listening to Jenny's Real Talk of the Block on LA Talk Radio with Jennifer DeVoe and the other Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
So check in, say happy birthday to the nitwit.
Thank you.
We'll talk next week. We've got real quick. We've got famous rock journalist Allison Mason.
All
from
right,
Metal Bay Mayhem,
yeah.
Clothing line and jewelry, and she's also a rock journalist. So check it out next week on April 26th. We're outie.
Peace.